Man, I needed to hear everything I've heard this morning from the introductory statements and the singing and the preaching, Brother Mark. I needed to hear those words, and Brother Ronnie, just your comments just now. The devil's in the discouraging business, and it's sad that a lot of independent Baptists sadly has gotten that business as well. But if anybody ought to be encouraging, I'm not talking about compromising the word, but holding one another's arms up, it ought to be those of the faith of the brethren that can preach this book. And I thank God for Brother Ronnie and my friend. And, you know, we've had a lot of times back when we were members of Hurricane, we'd stay out there and last ones to leave on that parking lot. Wonder they didn't call the law on us, amen? And we was out there just fellowshipping, just talking. And he's helped my heart many a day in the early days of pastoring and just all the things. And I, just like you said, I'm getting to enjoy pastures I didn't plow, blessings that I didn't earn, but somebody walked before me. And I thank God for that. I told somebody the other day, if I lay this book down and season the doctrines that I was taught, and my daddy that's in heaven now, I might as well go over his grave there at Temperance Hill Cemetery and spit on it. If I lay down what I was taught from this book, it wasn't just right because my daddy taught it. It was right because he taught me the right way. And I'm going to stay with it. So I'm not going to take a lot of time. And but every preacher says that, amen. So pray for us as we lie. I'm kidding. But Psalm 23, I just want to look at this familiar psalm. Every one of you has preached it. You've heard it at funerals. You've heard it at, I don't know if you've heard it at weddings or not. I might try it one of these days. Amen. But I heard it many times. But this is what was on my heart. And driving over here this morning, if it was my lot to preach, this is what the Lord has put on my soul this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is. I like that. I was sitting there going over that a while ago, and I just wrote, not was, it's presently. Present. The Lord is my shepherd. Something personal. I shall not want, just like he just said. That is provision. God gives it to us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We're going to be led by something or somebody. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. God, I sure thank you for just letting me come to church, or much less get behind a pulpit. Lord, this is, I feel... so often out of place amongst such great men. And Lord, just before a great God, Lord, and when I get a glimpse of you, Lord, the more I around the light, more, Lord, things reveal. And God, I pray you'll help me this morning, cleanse my heart of anything that shouldn't be there and put in there what should be. And Lord, I pray, God, you take control of my lips, my tongue, my mind. Lord, everything about me, may it be used as a vessel for your sake, your glory, and your honor. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you most of all for Calvary. Lord, I pray that you'd help this morning. Thank you for the help we've already gotten. Lord, that we can serve you, that you call us. And Lord, you don't clone us. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you can use us, Lord, despite us. And God, I pray that you'd touch every man of God in this room, their ministries. And Lord, may we not go and, as he said, compare among one another, but may we just get the book. And Lord, serve you with all of our hearts, with every breath we have until you call us home. Lord, we love you this morning. It's all because you first loved us and gave yourself for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible says the Lord, the psalmist here says the Lord is my shepherd. And if he's a shepherd, that would make the psalmist David here his sheep. And I just want to simply talk for a moment on his sheep. And as we look in some things, the law of his sheep. You know, sheep are mentioned much within the Scripture. And shepherding was very prevalent in the Bible times. The Shepherd's Psalm is one of the most well-known passages, as I said earlier, probably of all the Bible. And we wonder how many, sadly, may know the 23rd Psalm by memory, but does not know the shepherd of the psalm. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," meaning that He is the sheep that is being led, that's being fed. In other words, I'm the recipient of all that the shepherd does. He is the one that's being guided and provided for. And it is the shepherd that watches us. It's the shepherd that guards us. It's the shepherd that tends for us. Thank God, it's the shepherd that does all the things to me and for me. He disciplines me when I need it. His entire mindset, His entire heart is upon His sheep. He's tuned in to us this morning. Thank God that we as His sheep, we're on the radar of the shepherd. And all we think about, we ought to be tuned into the shepherd this morning. What life will be and what life can be and the victorious life we can have is all dependent upon whether you and I are in tune to the shepherd's voice and to the shepherd's leading. Know that we may not understand all that the shepherd does. We may not comprehend it with our mind. But we must allow it to steer our thoughts and to direct our paths. Jesus said in John 10:27, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's too many sheep, or let me just say, those who claim to be sheep, they're following some strange voices. Amen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You think about, we can check our hearing by the voice that we're heeding. A sheep will not make it without the shepherd. A church won't make it without the shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:14, "I'm the good shepherd, and I'm known and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine." And if we're going to be legible witnesses, I've been preaching under the heading, and this is one of the messages Brother Zuby many times praying. You've heard him pray it. Lord, we may be the only Bible that somebody may ever read. And I've been preaching under that heading for some time now. And this is one of them. And if we're going to be a legible witness, we've got to learn to follow our shepherd. We got to learn to know our shepherd. Our natural tendency is to turn our own way and to attempt to figure things out for myself. Friend, you may say, "No, preacher, my flesh has a natural tendency toward holiness." Oh, no, it doesn't. Our flesh is rotten. Our flesh is corrupt. And it'll lead us away from our shepherd. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We have the shepherd dying for the sheep. He became as a sheep going to the slaughter. And we must know, friend, that the shepherd did not stray from the sheep. Hear it loudly and clear. The sheep strayed from the shepherd. It was the shepherd that come after us. It was you and I, of all humanity, that went away from a loving God and from a merciful God and from a gracious and a forgiving God, the one who is righteous, the one who is holy, the one who is loving and just. And today you and I look at our land. We see people sadly wandering aimlessly here and there without a shepherd. Jesus looked on the multitude, did he not? Seeing those without a shepherd, having no shepherd. And there's folks today, they're living in fear, they're living in anxiety, and they're wondering what the world is going on in their own lives. And they just seem to can't get ahead in life. Every morning they wake up, they're scared to death. And friend, the one that can cause you to get full of fear is the one that can control you the most. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day. Philip Keller said this. He said, "With my natural tendencies to fear, worry, and ask why, it was not always simple to assume that he really did know what he was doing with me." So many times we go through things and say, Lord, why? Why'd you do that? Lord, why are you allowing that? And it's my natural flesh that wants to question. Thank God. A lot of times going through the valley, we don't understand it. We get way down there and we say, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, why are you doing this? But then God reaches down, picks us by the hand, and walks us up. And we get up on a little bit higher plane. And we look back, and now we say, Lord, you really did know what you are doing. Lord, you really did have me by the hand. Lord, you really were carrying me when I thought I had no way, no help whatsoever. I'm telling you, it's the shepherd that knows what we need and how we need it. I just want to pose something real quickly, and then we'll go eat. No, I'm kidding. Amen. What the shepherd did for me. What the shepherd did for me. It was God the Father that gave His only begotten Son. We all ought to thank God for that. Born of a virgin. He became man, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The glory, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became man. He became a servant, Paul penned in Philippians 2, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Matthew 20 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, what? But to minister. That word minister means to be an attendant, to wait upon. He didn't walk in the room and say, okay, everybody down here at my feet. Now guess what, friend? One of these days, we're going to joyfully be at His feet, thank God. But He came and He washed the disciples' feet. He became to be a servant. And then He became a curse for us. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became poor for us. 2 Corinthians 8, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, yet through His poverty might be rich. Thank God, I may have a coat come from Goodwill and I'm proud of it, but thank God I'm richer than the common world sees this morning. I've got all the riches of heaven down in the depths of my soul. The moment I said yes to Jesus, He gave me all of Himself. Amen. He became poor so that we might be rich. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Here's the key. Who knew no sin. Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What did that mean? That means He took the pain. He took the punishment that I deserved. Though He was sinless, yet He took my sin. Not in part, as the song says, but the whole. Thank God, He took my sin and my sorrow, and He made them His very own. And thank God that He did. That's something He did for me that my mama couldn't do for me. She did a lot for me through my young days. I gave her many headaches and gray hairs today. But thank God He did something that mama couldn't do. And He did something daddy couldn't do. What did He do? He took my sin upon Himself. Forgave me of my sin. Paid the debt nobody else could pay. Now think about what the shepherd did for me, but think about what He did to me. What did He do? Well, He brought me forth from darkness into light. Before I was saved, I was dwelling in the status of internal darkness. And I was headed for an eternity of pure darkness. But thank God when He saved me, He brought me out from the realm of darkness and He set me in the midst of His light. Just like in Acts 26 when Paul went before King Agrippa. That would tell me Paul went before a politician. What in the world would you say to a politician if they come in this room this morning, Jesus saves, Jesus saves? He loves you. He died for you. The message didn't change. Paul told the same thing, whether he was before those of poverty or those of prosperity. He looked at Agrippa. He began to recap his testimony. And he told him of his encounter with Christ in Acts 9. You say, what big words did he use? He just simply told that king what God did for him. He told him of what Jesus did. And then he told him of the purpose God had for him. In Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. He brought me from darkness to light, and he brought me forth from death unto life. Before I was saved, I had death reigning upon me. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But John 5:24 gives me good news. He said, he that heareth my word, aren't you glad for the day you heard? Amen. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting. Don't say you're going to have. It's present tense. Hath everlasting life. I got it right now. You may come. Well, you may hear my funeral. You may say, well, I died. Just like old Billy Kelly said, don't you believe a word of it. I've never started living more. The moment we close our eyes and exit this old robe of clay, we're going to live more than we ever dreamed. From death to life and shall not come into condemnation. Thank God he brought me forth from darkness to light and from death unto life, and he brought me in from the storm to a place of safety. Last June we had some storms pass through our way, and I had to, we went to the storm house and we endured it. We come out, went to the house. It wasn't about a minute later, we got dings on our phone again. Here it comes again. We run back over there. About three times we do the same thing. We're sitting there in that storm. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking about that song, "Keep Me Safe Till the Storm Passes By." He brought me in from a place of storm, of sin, to a place of safety. We have storms of unrest, storms of discontentment and fears and inner uncertainties. But the psalmist said in Psalm 4:8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." It is the shepherd that not just abides at the door, he is the door. It is a shepherd. He's my leader. He's my protector. He's my provider. He's my inspector. And only as I listen to him can I learn to obey him. That word obedient comes from the Latin word audere, means listening. We might be more obedient if they listen. How many times, Brother Jacob, you have to tell your kids, "Hey, listen to me. Look at me and listen." How many times have God had to jerk me by my collar and say, "Look at me and listen to me. Look into the Word of God." And when we're looking in it and reading it, don't just read it. We are to listen as well. Listen to what God wants to say to us. The shepherd is out. He wants to do something for us. He wants to do something to us. Hearing and heeding the voice of my shepherd in my natural being. As I said a moment ago, my flesh identifies with a hog pen. It is only in and through and by the shepherd that we can be partakers of the divine nature. With all my faults and failures, just go with God. Even when they stray, go with God. It is the shepherd that goes out to bring us in back to the safety of the fold. I'm thankful when he saw us out yonder. He saw us going our own way. What was our way? It was headed nowhere but to hell. But the shepherd sent his only begotten son down. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep." It was in 2012, there was a man that was a born-again man, but he was messed up. He went to prison. And he completed 2 years. 5 months into that year, after he had completed, he would have been up for what they call full minimum status by the DOC. It was a great privilege. It was allowed inmates to leave prison, the grounds, and work beyond the wall. It made them eligible for a halfway house or some other program, a desired status in that realm for all inmates who qualified. They would accept without hesitation. Everybody was wanting to be up for that status. If you could call it that, it was type of a gold prison status. And then May the 5th of 2012, after serving 28 months at medium security, he was given opportunity for full minimum status. And you think about it, after 27, he would be able to finish the 27 months of his sentence at another place, as I said, and it would give him more freedom, more privileges, more visits by the outsiders, and others around him were excited to hear it for him. Man, you go for it. Man, that's awesome. You're going to get to advance to that level. And this guy, he was praying and seeking God. And the day that he had to decide, it came, and he went to him and he said, "No, thank you." He turned it down. He refused to leave medium security and would stay behind the wall. Others around him said, "Man, you're crazy. You've lost your mind." None of them understood the privileges. Even the wardens, even the officers thought he was insane. And he said this. He said, "I know they didn't understand that I had prayed and I'd fasted on this decision. And I truly felt that my shepherd was at this time telling me and just making me lie down in green pastures." And yet the problem is nobody saw that medium security level where he was at as a green pasture status. It was an obvious observation that the greener pasture to the common eye was on the outside of the wall. He wasn't going against the system. He was just simply trying to go with the wisdom of the shepherd. As Psalm 37 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Let me say, God's got a big enough hand for all of us. And even this fella, he said, "You know what, I didn't even understand it." Matter of fact, after I told him no, I went back to my bunk, scratching my head, saying, "What in the world did you just do? You turned down so-called some freedom. You turned down what looked like an advancement." But he said, "I knew I was where I was supposed to be despite my own desire of more freedom." He was continued to allow more opportunities to do Bible studies there where he was at. His green pasture was not in the world of ease, but in the medium security behind the wall. About 1 week after he had turned them down, that full minimum status, two of the full minimum status inmates escaped from the unit. And where he would have been housed at that very place. The DOC went into action as that looked very bad upon them, and that behavior it would give other inmates ideas. And so they transferred all the full minimum inmates to other institutions where they would have to be reclassified and basically stuck behind the wall all over again. And you think about it, he said, "It was then, when I heard that, it was then that my decision was verified that my shepherd had me where he wanted me all the while." As I said earlier, sometimes we scratch our head and say, "Lord, why? Shepherd, where are you leading the sheep? Lord, I don't even like where I am. Lord, it looks like the green pasture over there, not where I'm at." And God said, "No, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures." His ways won't always be what you and I want or what others think we should do. We won't always understand the nudges from the master and the speaking from the shepherd. We don't understand the directing paths of my shepherd. All I know is what the shepherd said, or the shepherd's psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That sheep, he had gone through much. He had had enemies. He had had trials and troubles. But he said, "I know one thing. I know he's my shepherd." And the way of the shepherd is always right. It may not always be understood. It may not always even be liked, but it's always right, friend. Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways." I'm thankful this morning I've got a shepherd. I've got a shepherd that, yes, still has the power to save lost sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a shepherd this morning that is worth serving. A lot of folks are giving their heart to this world. Man, they'll stay out, get up early, stay out late. They'll go to the extent of living for this world. But thank God I've got a shepherd this morning that's worth serving. I've got a shepherd that's worth getting up and living again. I've got a shepherd that's worth saying, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. He is a good shepherd. We have a shepherd that provides security to the soul. He said in 1 Peter 2, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the bishop, shepherd and bishop of your soul. And as his sheep, I want to listen to his voice. As his sheep, I want to follow his ways. And as his sheep, I want to obey his commands. I may not understand it. I may not even desire it with my flesh sometimes, but I can always, thank God, join the chorus of David and sing the glorious psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank God, you're right. When He's all I need, He'll be all I want. He'll restore my soul. Preacher, you come.